Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, I love to praise His. I'm singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I love to praise His name, and let me tell you why I love to praise Him. Let me tell you why I love to praise Him. Let me tell you why I love to praise His holy name. Amen. How's everybody tonight? Fantastic. Listen, I don't have a lot of time. They gave me a certain number of minutes, and I'm going to have to get after it. All right? So we're going to get right into it. Brother Hart told you that we have the love lesson. Tonight is a lesson on love. How many of you guys have are familiar with GPS? GPS? Global Positioning System? You know, it started back in the late 70s. And it went to the military base, and then it went to the civilians. But there's been some development over the last 40 years, because, you know, the GPS, have you ever lost a GPS signal? Now, before we had GPS, what did we have? Atlas. Remember the big Atlas? So we used to travel from here, from Michigan to here, using that big Atlas. Now, the Atlas didn't have the restaurants, didn't have the hotels, and didn't have the gas stations on it. And so that's why the GPS did so well. So now what happened is this. When with the GPS, give me a minute, I'm going to get back to it. Just as we had the Atlas, God has given us the Word of God, the Bible, as our guide. And the GPS is love. So without love, everything that we do is in vain, all right? Everything that we do in vain. What are the different ways that we use love? I love chocolate cake. Now, my wife's a chef, so I love a fresh-baked, homemade chocolate cake fresh out the oven. And Brother Myers here, throw some homemade ice cream on it, I'm good to go. I love running. So those of you who know me, I love running. And I love my family. I remember when we had Kalia, our firstborn child. When she was first born, I poured everything that I had into her, all my love. And then Dante, my second, was about to be born. And I asked my father-in-law, Ray Christopher, I said, I don't know how you can love more than one child. I was blown away by the fact that I felt that I was out of love. And so, and then we had Kiera. And so, and then I poured everything into all of my kids. And so now I'm thinking that I'm out of love and I'm giving everything that I have. But God said, no, not yet. I'm going to show you some other things. It's going to challenge the way you love and how deep you love. I'm going to challenge that. So what happens is that Ray told me, he said, listen, he said, you got it in you. He said, you'll learn. And he smiled as he always smiles. He said, you'll learn. And it hit me later what he was talking about, how deep your love is. Love's GPS is what we're talking about today. Love's GPS. We have God's love. We have people's love. And then we have what Satan loves to do. God's love, people's love, and what Satan loves to do. And so what does love mean anyway? In Galatians 5:22, talked about the fruits of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is love. The first one is love. In 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible talks about how important love is. And it says, if I speak in tongues, if I have the gift of prophecy, if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, it's all in vain. If I give everything that I have to the poor without love, it's all in vain. So the next 15 things I want you, the next 15 things in these verses, 1 Corinthians 4 through 9, the next 15 things describes what love is and what love isn't. Here's what it is. Love is patient. Now here's what I did with these four or five verses. If you think about this, and I promise you it'll change your life. If you put these five verses, love is patient, I'll walk through these in a minute, but you put these five verses by your bed, on the refrigerator, in your purse, on a note card, and you read these before you leave the house every morning, it'll change your world. I got cut off on my way here. I have to have love that is patient, right? And if I hadn't have read this today, I don't know what would have happened. I can't tell you what would have happened, but I'm glad I read it. So love is patient, love is kind. And think about this as well. anything that's in this, these five verses, if you weren't this today, we have an opportunity to improve on that. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. That's huge for a lot of people. You do me wrong, I'm going to remember. And then I'm going to remind you that you did me wrong, right? So it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. There was a guy that I talked to the other day. He said, love, you can't fight love. How are you going to fight it? I mean, if I'm loving you, how are you going to fight my love towards you? Reading verses 4-8 every morning will change your life. I read an article that said, love must be the driving force, the motivation of everything that we do. This article said that every phase, every facet of our responsibility to God and man is covered if we make sure that love has its place and motivation in all that we do. It goes on to say that if we really love another person, we can't possibly injure them. Love would immediately stifle any thought that leads to adultery, to murder, to any form like that, because love cannot harm. And so these things, I'm telling you, as you dig deeper into what love truly is and what love isn't, it'll challenge us to the core. Colossians 3:12-17. I'm not going to read all of it, but it said, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion. These are things that if you're talking about envy and strife and jealousy, this is what we need to clothe ourselves with instead of those things. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That, I'm telling you, that's another thing. Is, again, if somebody's done us wrong, we're not so quick to forgive. So we should be. Love's GPS, God's love, people's love, and what Satan loves to do. Here's what Satan loves to do. Satan has a whole list of things to throw us off our course, to mess us up on our GPS. He throws us off through deception. John 8:44 says, here's the devil. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies, deception. Also through division. We see this last week, the division throughout the country, division. Here's what Jesus talks about, that all of them in John 17, all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I am them, I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Diversion is another one. I said he had many tactics. Diversion is one. And you know what diversion is? Diversion will throw you off course. He throws everything at you. I got to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got kids all over the place. It would divert you from your main goal. And what is our main goal? Love. So do not be afraid of those who kill the body but can kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So don't get distracted by all the stuff, all the moving parts. The last thing the devil does, he also discourages us. He tells you, you're not good enough. You'll never amount to anything. So you know what? You try it, you fail. Now I want you to quit. So this is the stuff that the devil puts in our heads. And we play this over and over and over in our heads. And no wonder we're discouraged. No wonder we're frustrated and set back and all those things. So that's the devil. So he puts evil suggestions in our mind. He's always on the alert. He's looking for weak places in our defense system. He's eager to take advantage of any opening we might give him through the lack of watchfulness. Just as Judas Iscariot, when he betrayed Jesus, a weakness in his defense system. Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied to the Holy Ghost, a weakness in their defense system. For us, we fall prey to drugs and alcohol, sexual immorality, and a whole host of other things, but it's because of a weakness in our defense system. And that comes from the devil. I want you to recognize that. Now, here's the thing. I just heard earlier today about people carrying. You know, they have concealed weapons. So they protect themselves against anybody that's out there. So they have concealed weapons. They have, what is that stuff called? They spray the mace. They take up karate. So they're always on the defense. But the devil is just as real. He's just as real. And so if we have those things on one another, the people that can only hurt our body, can you imagine what if we take hold against the devil? That's what we're looking to do. Our wicked thoughts we contend with from time to time, and we do, all of us, contend with those wicked thoughts from time to time. They come from him and everything that he embodies. His ultimate aim is to throw us off our GPS. Our GPS is what? Love. Love is our GPS. And he wants us to get so far away from God that we're only around weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's amazing. We don't give him enough credit because he's dangerous. He is dangerous. And so we got to stop saying that, you know what, God understands my plight. And we keep going doing the same things that we want to do, anything that we want to do. God understands your plight. But he's a God of mercy, grace, and he has some other things that he's done as well. So don't play with God. The devil promotes an unforgiving spirit. Why should you forgive them? He says, you know, they did you dirty. And you're like, yeah, you know, they did me dirty. And I'm going to remember that. And so those inner conversations that we have with ourselves on a daily basis are dangerous, but understand where they come from. James 3:14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant, so lie against the truth. The wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. And those are some of the things that the devil will throw at us on a daily basis. And if we're not aware of it, we'll fall prey to it. And if we fall prey to it, we're living in sin. If we're living in sin, sin leads to what? Leads to death. So if you're looking for God, if you're looking, God's lessons are everywhere. But you got to be looking. The other day we were traveling back from, we were in Fort Worth, had a little family reunion in Fort Worth on the 4th of July. And we're in the backyard playing games, and then there's the firecrackers going off, and then all of a sudden the firecrackers stopped and the lightning started. So in above the clouds you just see the lightning. There's no striking, just lightning. So the sky's lighting up and there's light raining. So we left. So we were getting in the car. 3 minutes later, it was pouring down rain. Now, I don't know if you guys remember the 4th of July, but it was pouring down rain. And I want you to understand, if you're looking for the lessons, they're everywhere. As we were leaving, the rain started, and everything was fine, which is fine, but then what happened is that once this rain started pouring down, we had the windshield wipers on high. Have you ever had that? And then the cars flew by. I don't know how they were flying by, but they flew by, splash, splash, and then the big trucks. And that scares me because, you know, these big 18-wheelers, when they splash, it covers the whole car. And so I'm like, okay. So what did I do? There are lessons everywhere. This is what I did. I turned on emergency lights, right? And so some people in our lives, they turn on the emergency lights around us, and we got to be able to see that. If we don't see these emergency lights, they're waving their hands, say, hey, listen, I need help. And if we're too busy, we will never see it. So I turn on the emergency lights, and then I slow down. Slow down the car. So we must not be too busy to see past our own lives. Turn off the radio. And so I don't know why we turn off the radio, but I turn off the radio. But the radio, here's what the radio is, a distraction. The radio was a distraction. In our lives, we got to take the distractions out. Because if we're so distracted with everything that's going on around us, I can't see Brother Ford hurting. I can't see it. I won't see it because all the stuff is happening around me. Lean close to the steering wheel. You know how you get up real close to the steering wheel so you can't see? So I'm leaning close to the steering wheel, and you know what that represents. You got to lean close to God Almighty, all right? The longer I drove, the harder it rained. We finally got to Loop 12, and Tisha says, hey, you know, I think it's flooded down under that bridge. So we got down around the corner and got to the bridge. There are four lanes, and all four lanes are going into one lane, all right? So in the front of me, there's a car that's stalled. The whole right lane is packed. And there's a big truck. Big truck wanted to get over because there was a hill we're about to go up. So I let the truck in. Think about this. God says, listen, let me in. I'll lead the way. All right? So I followed the big truck slowly as he went up this hill. It was almost like he parted the Red Sea. because I'm following him. We got up the hill, and watch this. Here's what happened. Tisha was wide awake before. Now she was knocked out. She was relaxing. I leaned back, turned on the radio. Thank God for bringing us through the storm. And here's the beauty of it. He'll show us how to love even through the storm. All right? So love's GPS, God's love, people's love, and what Satan loves to do. Here's, we're going to flip. That's Satan. Just be aware of Satan. Now we're going to talk about the people. God puts people in our lives for a reason. 1 John 3:16, here's the depth of the love that we should have. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. When I read that, I was like, man, I got to die for my brother and sister? That's how deep the love should be. I should be willing to die for you. That blew my mind. When I read it, I had to stop. Because we come here every Wednesday, every Sunday. And if I don't have that kind of love, that level of love, that deep level of love for you, my brothers and sisters, I gotta rethink some things, all right? When was that moment, the last moment when you realized, or the moment that you realized that you were loved? Can you think back that far when you realized, when you knew without a doubt that you were loved? We recently had an opportunity to go to a children's home. The children, young men, these kids were 16 to 25 years old. Now, these kids came from extremely challenging environments. They were living in drugs and alcohol and prostitution and gambling, the whole nine yards. If it was illegal, these guys have experienced it. They went to juvie, they went to jail, they went to prison. But then there was a ranch called Timothy Hill Ranch. And the Timothy Hill Ranch gathered these boys up, ages 16 to 25, young men as well. Then they got hooked up with the ranch, Timothy Hill. And these kids, watch what they did with them. They worked 10-hour days, 6 days a week. 10-hour days, 6 days a week. They exercise every morning. They learned to trade. They got poured into every day. I love you. I appreciate you. You're going to be somebody. You're strong. Every day, you get this. So 6 days a week, they did this. They tell them they care about them, believe in them, and they're encouraged and challenged to leave all the negative stuff. Now, if you're familiar with any of those things I mentioned, growing up in that arena allows you to be negative. It goes deep into your being, that negativity. And so they work that negativity out. They channel those energies into something more productive. After 18 to 24 months, what do? They have $10,000 saved. Not only that, they take that $10,000 and they can buy a cash car. They pay for insurance for a year for that car. And then they take 3 months of rent. So now they come away from this ranch, and they're prepared. So now they don't have to go back into that hustling arena. And then they're disciplined. So it's been phenomenal. Now, here's what happened. I had a chance to interview those guys and ask them about what love is to them. And several of these guys, they said, listen, we were in foster care. We were in relatives' homes that didn't want us. Some of these guys were living on the street, but they didn't know what love was. The biggest difference they felt was that they were loved. They said it's tough love sometimes, but they felt that they belonged to a family that really cared. So they were crying, and you know, I'm pretty sensitive, and so I'm like, please don't do that. Don't cry in front of me. So I'm hurting. I mean, I'm feeling their pain, and I understand it. Now, here's the thing. The people that, the guys that were, they call them house parents, the guys that were there, these guys had gone through some of the same things. So who better to guide these young men than the guys that had been through it? And so listening to the guys that had been through it, I've never seen so many grown men cry. And so when they're telling us about these stories and things that they've been through, they're crying too. So there I went. And so those of us that, here's the thing, the boys at the ranch, this was a critical point, the boys at the ranch didn't have, 90% of them didn't have fathers in the home, 90%. And those of us that had fathers inside, well, my father was in, he was out, he was in, he was out. Not an excuse, no excuse for us. And although it's painful to see, we shouldn't use that as an excuse. Time and conversation is what they were looking for. They weren't looking for the stuff. They weren't looking for the big house and fancy cars. They were looking for time and conversation. And that's what they felt was love for them. Simple. Give me time, give me conversation, I'm good. All right, and that's what these guys were talking about. They say, we're too busy for that. That's what we usually say, we're too busy for that. I got stuff to do, I gotta work, I gotta go to school, I gotta get on my grind, I got a big house to pay for, all of this stuff. There's things that keeps us busy, but all they want is time and conversation. So please don't misunderstand the love that kids want. It's simple. Have you ever familiar with a Chinese bamboo tree? So the Chinese bamboo tree is phenomenal. God is phenomenal. So they plant the Chinese bamboo tree. First 4 years, the Chinese bamboo tree does not show any outward growth. But underneath those 4 years, this Chinese bamboo tree is doing some phenomenal things. And in year five, the Chinese bamboo tree grows 80 feet. 80. Look it up. It's a true story. Now, here's the beautiful part about this. Hate, distrust, bitterness, envy, strife, resentment, all of that. You think about the Chinese bamboo tree and what it does underneath. All of those things, hate, distrust, bitterness, envy, strife, that grows in you. And at some point, if it's unaddressed, boom. You see that in our communities. You see that in our homes. I'm frustrated. I'm aggravated. Something has got to give, and that's what this is all about. Instead of allowing those things to fester and grow, understand that love is cultivated over time, is powerful. Here's a story. Now, here's the thing. I'm gonna reveal some things to you. I was tossing and turning about doing this, but I'm gonna do it anyway. I didn't know why certain things happened in my life. All right? But now I realize why they happen. They happen to me, so I can share with you, so you can help somebody else, and it's reciprocal. So it's. Here's what happened. One of my first memories of love came when I was 10 years old. We had just gotten home from school on a Friday, and I had to write it down, because my father wasn't home yet. We all sat down, we ate dinner. It got later and later. We went to bed, kids. Middle of the night, my brother and I heard a commotion. Know where the commotion was? My mother and father fighting. 10 years old. So we rushed downstairs. My brother's a year older than me. So we rushed downstairs. We stood in between them. And what I saw was my mother's face. She's crying. She's yelling. My father's cussing and all this other stuff. Now, this is Christian home. So I was confused. This is my first experience with what love was. Now watch what he did the next day. Called us downstairs. He said, hey, you know what? Sorry you had to see that. I really love your mother. Sorry you had to see that. And this is in my head. I really love your mother. Sorry you had to see that. It won't happen again. All right? If you've experienced that before, you understand what's next. Because it did happen again and again. Now he was in the process of developing to be, he was actually becoming an alcoholic wife beater is who he was, who he became eventually. But watch this, God is an amazing God. So after we saw that, the next day he called us downstairs and all that. So here's how I was angry, 10 years old, upset, very, very upset, and trying to battle this, trying to understand what's going on in my life. And I only knew three ways to do it. One way, I'll play sports in the neighborhood. Fine. The other way, now understand I was 10 years old. I saw these little ants, right? And I was a fire addict, so I'm burning ants. I'm like, this ain't right. Something ain't right about this. But this is me trying to express some things, right? Firecrackers, and they weren't illegal in Michigan for some reason. We were always popping them. And so we did that. And then the other thing I did, watch this. The other thing I did was started to fight everybody. I'm in school, I'm fighting everybody. Bigger than me, doesn't matter. I was a scrawny dude, right? But it didn't matter, because here's what happened. I was walking, minding my own business, going back to my desk. I'm in the fifth grade. This dude tripped me, and then he spit on me. Now, you understand the Chinese bamboo tree came out, right? So I went to wailing, got kicked out of school. Fifth grade, got kicked out of school. And ironically, I got home and got a whooping. And I say ironically because the very thing that I hated to see, I was doing that outside. So understand what was going on. So I got kicked out, and this kept on going. Now, the same guy that I got kicked out of school with in the fifth grade, I went to high school with him and got kicked out again with him. All right? So it started hitting me. I was like, well, you know, fighting ain't all what it's cracked up to be. So I stopped all of that. But here's what's happening. And we're talking about people's love. God put a man in my life that changed my life. Now, he had always been in my life, and that's my grandfather. My grandfather had always been in my life. And what happened is at 10 years old, my brother's at 11 years old, we went to work for him. He had a lot of houses. He was a handyman. And so he put us to work every morning. And he was not a guy that spared the rod. If he told you what to do and you didn't do it, there's no time out. There's no time out. And we knew right away what he meant. When he said do something, that's what you need to do. That's tough love sometimes. And so what happened is that I didn't understand all this fighting thing until I got baptized at 18 years old. Now, he kept telling me, he said, listen, Ernie, I too was angry all the time, but here's what happened. So he told me about God sending Jesus down on the cross and all of that. And I grew up in the church, but I heard it. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, I understand. I hear that. But it didn't hit me till much later. So I heard this many years ago. So we're talking about people's love. I had a great-grandmother who died at 20 when I was 22. I remember in college, I got that phone call. He said, you know what? Her name is Mamise. So Mamise passed away. That was my first hurt that I felt for love, the true love. Because she always said, Ernie, she called me Ernie Bernie. Now, I don't let anybody else call me Ernie Bernie. So I don't want to hear that Ernie Bernie stuff. So, but she called me Ernie Bernie, and I was okay with that nickname from her. But when she passed, it hurt. Four grandparents I had all along, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, I lost all four. It blew my mind. And so it made me wonder, you know what, God, why are you doing this? You know, they were talking about last week or a couple weeks ago, why me, that why me thing. I had that kind of conversation because I love all four of them dearly. Three of those four always told me that I love you. The one I spent the most time with, which is my grandfather, the one that had the houses, the one that didn't spare the rod, never said it. Do we have to hear it? I always knew he did. Always knew. In my heart of hearts, I knew. He never said it, which blew my mind. As I looked at this lesson, I was like, you know, I never heard Granddaddy say, I love you. Didn't matter. So it's not about the words. It's about what you do, all right? Make a love deposit in someone's life. I heard that last, I guess it was a couple of days ago. Make a love deposit in someone's life every day, every chance you get. So take a look at your GPS and make sure that you're on the right path. Finally, God's love. God sent his son, 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed us his love. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Jesus shows us how to navigate through adversity. Now, you said you're going through some stuff. You're talking about somebody going through some stuff. Jesus, his arrest in Matthew 26, his trial in Luke 22, his crucifixion in Mark 15. Not only did they spit on him, they put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him. They threw him up on the cross, nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, pierced him in his side. And what did he say? Forgive them. And somebody cut me off on the road. I can't forgive them. You know, somebody ate the last piece of chocolate cake. I can't forgive them. So you got to be very, very careful what you do by way of forgiveness, because if he can go through everything that he went through for us, sinful folks, and then still say, hey, forgive them. Who are we not to? So God showed us how to love. Jesus showed us how to love. The Holy Spirit guides us on love. And God has placed people in our lives to show us what love is. Here's the other part of that story. Now watch God work. My father went through a very, very tough time. He lost his family. He and my mother are not together anymore. But here's what happened. The four of us, the four kids, each of us handled what we experienced, what we saw differently, very differently. We had anger. We were bitter. We were resentful. The list goes on. But God, the love of God, worked on us as well as my father. So God didn't count him out. A lot of us was like, you know what, forget him. See what he did to my mama? Forget him. And that's what we had. Those are the attitudes that we embodied. But here's what happened. So God continued to mold him and shape him to the man that he, God, wanted him to be. So he stopped smoking cold turkey. 30 years smoking, he stopped. One day he fell after being intoxicated. Now, he stopped smoking, but he didn't stop drinking. This was many, many years ago. But once he fell and hit his head, he went to rehab. And so in rehab, he was able to get his head together. Once he came out of rehab, no more drinking. It was phenomenal. So no more drinking. So here's what he does today. Studies his Bible, right? Active in the church. An encourager. Threw me off because he was never an encourager, ever. It was all about him. So now he's an encourager. He visits the sick, buys groceries. It was all about him. He's never done anything for other people. God flipped the script. Now he does these things. So he buys groceries for other folks. I talk to him 3 or 4 times a week. No resentment. Why do I not have resentment? Because God worked on me and he worked on him. So don't discount anything that God can possibly do. God works on him. So he developed everything. And so don't ever count anybody out, because lives can be changed through love. Here's the last thing. Almost last thing. I got a few minutes. So 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is what? God is love. God's act of love by giving his only son defines the ultimate requirement of true love. And the giving of most beloved possession, our giving of our most beloved possession and sacrifice for another's gain is something that we have to work into. So if I can give and give and give and not expect anything back, that's love. The standard has been set, Matthew 22:39. Love your neighbor as what? Yourself. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Not a natural response. If I have an enemy, I'm not going to love them. Well, I will now, but I wasn't going to love them. John 15:13, lay down your life for your friends. Again, we talked about that earlier. Romans 5:7, God's love for us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And these are just examples of the highest standard of love. And so we have work to do. If you're not there, we have work to do. Godly love is one of the fruits of the Spirit, as you know. So what's next? Love's GPS. God's love, people's love, and what Satan loves to do. And if we're aware of those things, we can move forward. Here's the things that you could do. I'm not saying that you will. Some of you guys will do just, you know, they'll pick up the burdens that you carried in here and you walk right back out this door with them. That's on you. That's not what God wants for you, but that's on you. Consider writing a letter to the one that you injured, because we've done some stuff too. Injured spiritually, physically, and emotionally. We could write a letter. We can make a phone call. Those that have been that have injured us, we can do the same thing. How do you think you get past somebody growing up and you see this physical abuse? How do you get past it? You have to have a conversation. The conversation is tough. I had that conversation. Somebody else one of my siblings didn't have that conversation. And you know what happened is that there's that animosity that's still built. And it will never go away unless you have those kind of conversations. An out loud conversation, here's the thing. If you ask, life is short, do you agree to that? You know, Muhammad Ali will tell you that life is short. Prince will tell you that life is short. And so if we have an opportunity to tell somebody we love them, to show somebody we love them, to ask for forgiveness or to forgive, and we choose not to do it, okay? Please understand that. So whatever you decide to do, do something that is based in love. And we can affect our homes, we can affect our communities, we can affect our work, we can affect the church. understand what you're willing to do. What are you willing to do for your to show your love? Here's one last story, and I'm going to take my seat. There was a story about a blind girl who was filled with animosity and despised the world. She didn't have many friends, just a boyfriend who loved her deeply, like no one else. She always used to say that she'd marry him if she could see him. Suddenly, one day, someone donated her a pair of eyes, and that's when she finally saw her boyfriend. She was astonished to see that her boyfriend was blind. He told her, "You can see me now. Can we get married?" She replied, "And do what? We'd never be happy. I have my eyesight now, and you're still blind." He said, "I'm sorry." He said, with a tear in his eye and a smile on his face, he meekly said, "I understand. I just want you to always be happy. Take care of yourself and my eyes." If you love someone, put their name in a circle, not a heart, because hearts can break, but circles go on forever. Love's GPS, God's love, people's love, and what Satan loves to do. So if you've been living your life with a messed up GPS, if you can't, you can get there right tonight. If your love has been listless or lifeless, or you just plain haven't loved, you can get there right tonight. And if you haven't experienced the love of Almighty God because you're not a child of His, you can do that tonight as well. So whatever you do, make sure that God guides your decision in love. As together we stand. Sing.